there's a little verse in today's passage. It's verse 9.
Please excuse the slides. I'm going to jump around a little bit from what I originally planned because I think God wants to say something slightly different. In verse 9, just here, says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Something little working through the whole batch of dough. When Guy said, shared in prayer and praise, we may not have much. A little bit of yeast works through a whole batch of dough. What we do have and what we bring to Jesus can have a whole impact to a wider community. Whether we bring a big thing of yeast, maybe that can have a wider impact. I want us to just start with that verse because I believe that God is going to encourage people today and also challenge people today to be a bit like yeast, to have an impact on a whole batch of dough, both positively and negatively. Oh, he's going to go there. Because the context of that verse is how sin and self-reliance, however small, can impact a whole community or a whole church. But on a positive reading of it, your holiness and faithfulness following Jesus, your offering of yourself, saying, Jesus, I'm all in for you, can have a positive impact, not just on a church, but on a whole community. Anyone know what these are? They're cows of some description, and there's a yoke. And a yoke is used to keep the cattle together as they plow the fields. And a number of you will know that there are a few verses in the Bible that talk about yoking and not being unequally yoked and taking Jesus' yoke upon us. It's easy and his burden is light. But in today's passage in Galatians chapter 5, the yoke isn't about cattle. It's about slavery. And you can see from this this drawing, this sketch, humans being yoked together with a piece of wood. Why wood? Because it was cheaper. And what they would do is they would put the fork there and then lock them in and then tie the two bits of wood together and then tie with rope their children onto the yoke so that they couldn't move as freely. During the time of the transatlantic slave trade, approximately 12.5 million people were transported from African nations to America and other places around the world. 12.5 million people left the shores. 10.7 made it over to the other side. So many people died in transit. But they were yoked, they were bondaged. Just so that you understand what 12 million people look like. It's a whole population of London plus the whole population of Wales currently added together. Transported in slavery. That yoke just there is in a museum in Scotland and it was removed from a slave's neck by David Livingstone, the missionary doctor explorer from Scotland. The slave's friend, which is a news article or pamphlet trying to encourage the abolition of slavery, that is from a museum in Bath. And you can see that it wasn't always wooden yoke, sometimes it was metal. And you might be thinking, what on earth are you going into detail about this these yokes for today? There are so many people not necessarily wearing physical yokes in today's society and even in today's church, but they're wearing spiritual yokes. They're being trapped in to a system or a structure or a mindset or a belief that they are either stuck in their sin or in their self-reliance. 12.5 million back in the transatlantic slave trade. I wonder how many million in our nation are in spiritual slavery. And Paul is writing to a church and encouraging them not to go back into spiritual slavery. And I believe God is saying to us this morning, one, don't go back into spiritual slavery. Don't put the yoke back on yourself. But also, two, to be a freedom people. People that are living free. Free followers of Jesus, free worshippers of Jesus, freed by the grace of Jesus, freed by the truth of God's words, free to follow him faithfully, free to be completely and utterly sold out for him, choosing to live radically and passionately holy lives for him. And I think that God's words will help us to do that this morning. But unless we're open to God's Spirit, we will very easily go back into wearing a yoke of slavery. Hopefully, seeing these images repulses you. Hopefully. We should have the same feeling about people in spiritual slavery. Or us even going back into spiritual slavery. For those of you that are using the sermon notes, you can use that QR code or just go to the events page on the YouVersion Bible app and you'll find us there. Gospel-rooted living will always lead to freedom. It will never lead to slavery. And Paul is saying in these first few verses of chapter 5, be free. Don't put the yoke back on. Stand firm. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Danny, do you mind if you stand up, please? Now, I'm going to ask Danny to push me. I'll move a bit of space. Okay. I'm standing tall. Push me. Okay, I didn't think you were going to push me that way. I thought you were going to push me that way. Right, okay. Now, push me. Okay. He eventually managed to do it. Thank you, Danny. That's it. We're not going to go further than that. What was different? What was different? First time, standing tall. Second time, crouching down, getting my core engaged and rooting myself into something that was firm. Paul is basically saying, stand firm by rooting yourself in the gospel of Jesus and don't go back. Whatever the pressure to go back, or whatever the temptation to go back, whatever the waves of temptation or challenge to go back into a gospel of self-reliance and a yoke of slavery. He says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declared to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul is saying for us to stand firm. If we are to be people who free others from slavery to sin and to self-reliance, we as a church need to be people who stand firm, rooting ourselves in the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus, and then go and help to release others. Now, I say a church, but a church isn't the building, it's the people. So Steve's standing firm and being free as a follower of Jesus impacts, let's use that from verse 9, a little yeast impacts the whole dough. His standing firm impacts our whole community. Carol's standing firm impacts our whole community. Some of you are thinking, don't pick on me. Because we know that at times it is really hard and we go into a place of self-reliance. Can you remember those ladders from last week? A ladder where it was the Sturck ladder. Sorry, Harold. But it was the yellow ladder. Don't keep on trying to earn God's favor and approval. Trying to earn your righteousness, your right standing before God. Stop trying, start trusting. And there was a second ladder, and we couldn't be on both ladders. In a similar way, we need to rely on God alone, on Christ alone, and live by faith. Standing firm is standing firm in the freedom Jesus gives us, and standing firm in faith. In verses 2, 3, and 4, Paul outlines how self-reliance brings us back into slavery. In verse 2, he says that if we don't rely on God's grace, on Jesus' grace, we're basically saying that Jesus is of no value to us at all. In verse 3, he says, if you're going to do one aspect of the law, circumcision, it's basically saying you're going to obey the whole law. And you've got to go on to that, I'm going to try ladder, I'm going to do it myself ladder. In verse 4, he says, you've been alienated from Christ, you've fallen away from grace. Maybe for you, I'm talking to individuals here, maybe for you, it isn't about your salvation, but it's the way that you live your life. And a temptation comes across your way to either go Jesus' way or your own way, and you think, oh, I know, I don't want to go my own way because that way isn't going to be Jesus' way, so I'm going to try and do Jesus' way. And I'm going to try and resist temptation. I'm going to try and be holy. How many of us try and still sin? I didn't actually mean hands up. But so often we try and try and try to be good, trying to be holy, trying to live God's way, and we still fall into sin. Maybe it's because we are relying on our own strength and our own trying, our own ability and our own effort, rather than trusting God's and standing firm and living by faith, we're trusting in ourselves. If you are someone who is struggling with sin, can I encourage you to start trusting God in those moments of temptation and say, God, help me. Here I am, help me. Because verse 5 and 6 say something of the antidote to this temptation to wobble in our freedom and help us to stand firm in our freedom. It says in verse 5, through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul is saying it is by faith that we stand firm in freedom, not by our own efforts. We've got to stop trying and start trusting. There's this interesting thing in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love for God, love for others, greatest commandment. I wonder if you've elevated something of following Jesus higher than it should be. My dad, when he was younger, was known as a wet Baptist. There were dry Baptists, those that didn't drink alcohol. And wet Baptists drank alcohol. The process was, getting drunk isn't good if you're trying to follow Jesus faithfully. So I'm not going to get drunk. So I'm not going to drink. I'm going to be teetotal. Anyone who drinks is a sinner. Christians aren't proper Christians if they drink. That was the process that went through. Can you see? A little yeast worked its way through. And that was, and still is in some places, the process of a little yeast working its way through the whole batch of dough with a mindset of judgment. Dad is a wet Baptist. He thinks it's okay to drink. I won't go through the process. For me, I was in a Reformed church for many years. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is what was taught then, not what I believe now. The gifts of the Holy Spirit ended when the Bible was finished. Therefore, if you are someone who prophesies or has words of knowledge or speaks in tongues, you're not following what Scripture says. You're not therefore a proper Christian unless you don't do those things. That was the process. But I've been in some churches where it goes, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a proper Christian. If you don't speak in tongues, you can't be a Christian. We're not going to speak to those who don't speak in tongues. Can you see how a little thing can work its way through and can impact a whole community, impact denominations, and right around the world, people are in slavery to self-reliance, and they've made circumcision or uncircumcision bigger than it should be. I believe, by the way, just for clarity, I believe the Holy Spirit, but I'll say it now, the Holy Spirit gifts His church, empowers His church. We should have people speaking in tongues, words of prophecy, praying for healing, etc., etc. You know what I believe about that. Traditional music or contemporary music or no music at all. Our view on that is of no value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Voting Conservative or Labour or Lib Dem or whoever is of no value. The only thing that counts is of faith, is faith expressing itself through love. Six-day creationism or old earth progressive creationism or believing in evolution is of no value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Sometimes we can get so focused in on a mindset, a thought, a theology, some of them really, really good things, but they become so big in our minds that we miss out on the main thing, which is living freely in faith. That it isn't about you. Actually, it's definitely not about you because you are not your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, you are not your own. You were bought by Jesus. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with everything that you are. Or Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, Christ redeemed you. He bought you back from slavery. He bought you. Therefore, you're not your own. He's bought you. You're Jesus's. And therefore, keep Jesus the main thing. We're to stand firm in our freedom. If we're to free others, we're to stand firm in our freedom. We're also to run faithfully following Jesus. And you can see from these verses that Paul is saying that people were running a good race. They'd started well, but someone cut in on them from obeying the truth. Can you remember from about 5 or 6 weeks ago? Maybe you haven't, so I'm going to say it now. If we are trying to challenge someone's behavior, don't just say what you think. Ask them a question, because by asking them a question, you get them to think and not just hear what you think. By asking them a question, you build a bridge and help them to be restored and maintain relationship rather than just saying, well, I think you're wrong. And Paul does that again in verse 7. He does it throughout the whole book of Galatians. He says, you were running really, really well. Who cut in? Who tripped you up? Who persuaded you away? I know it's not Jesus, verse 8. You've got to be careful with this, verse 9, because a little twisting can impact a whole church community. A little belief in the wrong things can impact a whole community of believers. So let's get the challenging bit, because this is about running faithfully following Jesus. Your walk with God and your holiness impacts our church family. And you might think, oh, it's watered down though, because there are so many of us. In Joshua chapter 7, a guy took something that he shouldn't have done, and the whole nation of Israel couldn't do what God had asked them to do. God is calling us, every single one of us, to live fully devoted lives to him, saying we're not our own, we're bought at a price, we're Jesus's, and therefore every single part of me, I'm going to be following Jesus. You should be living holy lives, holy for him, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy for him, H-O-L-Y. Your greatest gift, and I love this booklet, talking about giving and thanking God for things. Your greatest gift to this church family is not your finance. Your greatest gift is your holiness and following God faithfully. Because if you walk in freedom and faithfully follow Jesus, let's apply verse 9 to that. You are holy and faithfully follow Jesus, freely following him. What's going to happen? Well, the little yeast is going to work through the whole batch of dough. As I said, Steve's freedom, Steve's holiness and faithfully following Jesus is going to impact our whole church. Same as Carol and others. Little yeast works through the whole batch. So let's be people who run faithfully and follow Jesus faithfully. Paul says in verse 10 that those who are tripping them up will get disqualified. This is just a warning to anyone in our church family or anyone outside of our church family who tries to get us back into those yokes of self-reliance and sin. Anyone who tempts us, Paul is saying they're going to get disqualified. They're going to pay the price for pulling people away from the grace of Jesus. Verse 11, Paul is saying that if he's being persecuted, which he was getting challenged for preaching the gospel of grace, but he's basically saying, I'm not getting challenged for preaching self-reliance. I'm getting challenged or persecuted for preaching the cross of Jesus, which is repulsive to pride and self-reliance. The cross of Jesus goes completely against pride and self-reliance. Because it shows grace that we cannot earn. And the pastor's heart comes out in verse 12. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Because there were children in the first service, I didn't spell out what that means. But these agitators were basically saying you need to cut the foreskin off to earn God's favor and God's approval. But Paul is saying, oh, I'm so frustrated with these people that are putting the yoke back on. I wish they would chop off everything there. And he doesn't mince his words. He says it in a polite way. But he doesn't mince his words. And we should feel that same kind of feeling if anyone tempts us back into self-reliance or into sin. We should be gracious with them, yes, but we should be treating them like, oh, I wish you would stop doing that. I wish really, really strongly, as Paul is trying to explain here. In verse 13 to 15, we see these words. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Don't go after self-indulgence. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You, every single one of you, was called to be free. Can you just turn to the person next to you, say, you're called to be free. If they weren't listening, tap them on the shoulder, say, you're called to be free. Freedom in Jesus doesn't mean ignoring what God's word says. Verse 14 tells us that freedom leads us to be faithful to God's law, not ignoring it. And the whole of God's law is summed up in the command that, as Jesus sums up, love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Our freedom is from sin and slavery. But it's actually a freedom that leads us to faithfulness and serving one another. And verse 15, again, Paul doesn't mince his words. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Have you ever come across moaners? Not Mona Lisa. Lisa, sorry. Where are you, Lisa Murfin? Are you here? No? That's good. I don't mean a Lisa, but moaners. People that are just negative about stuff. They just pull you down. And Paul is saying, if you bite and devour each other, but basically, Stephen paraphrase of this verse, quit being negative and knocking down what God is doing. And I believe God has brought us into a season where there are fewer and fewer and fewer people who are doing that in our church family. And it's such a wonderful thing, because as people are quitting doing that, people are quitting doing verse 15, we're seeing greater and greater focus on the freedom that Jesus brings. Freedom in worship, freedom in healing, freedom in praying for one another, freedom in seeing other people being freed. So get behind what God is doing and quit being negative about it. Now, as we respond, how do we do this? Well, in verse 16 of this passage, which James will unpack in a few weeks' time, it starts like this. So then, live by the Holy Spirit. To live by the Holy Spirit, we need to be open to Him. If we're to be people who bring freedom to others, we need the Holy Spirit to show us truth, because truth, as it says in John's Gospel, when we know the truth will set us free. We need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit leads us into the grace of Jesus and reminds us that it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and we're made right by God through faith. The Holy Spirit, according to verse 5 in this passage, will do that, will help us with that. So the Holy Spirit we need to be open to. He'll lead us in truth, lead us in grace, and he'll lead us to the lost, those who are in slavery. And again I say, for those who are tempted not to free others because of your pride or your fear, which is linked to your pride, I say it with great love, but try not to mince my words. You are not your own. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are not your own. So stop living your own life and allow Jesus' Holy Spirit to take over and allow him to use you to free others. In our community, there are thousands of people spiritually wearing yokes. And he's raised up a church with people who a little yeast, a little freedom, a little grace, a little living for the Holy Spirit will impact a whole community. Can I encourage you to stand, if you're able, as we respond? As the band sing a song about our availability to God. And if you want to step into that availability, if you're saying, yes, Jesus, I'm stepping into freedom and a ministry of freedom bringing to others, can I encourage you to just come and kneel at the front? Some people from the prayer team may pray for you. It might just be that you need to do business with God. God, we thank you then. Saved us by your grace, and your truth sets us free. We thank you, Jesus, that you're described in John chapter 1, verse 14, that you came into this world full of truth and grace. Help us to be like you by your Holy Spirit. Free us from any sin or self-reliance. If there are any people living with yokes spiritually, remove those yokes in your wonderful name and power today. And give us a ministry of yoke removals, of releases, people who live by the truth and speak the truth in love. I pray, Jesus, for each person who will share something of you over this coming week, whether we're from this church or from other churches around the world, coming to this nation. Jesus, we pray that through our availability to you, by your Holy Spirit, you will use us to release others who are trapped in captivity spiritually. Bring healing and release in Jesus' name.